Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Let me remind you at the early portion of today's broadcast, that telephone number is 831-0917. If you'd like to join in the dialogue and discussion, ask your question, or as some have put it, putting in your 2 cents worth, that telephone number is 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue. We'll be talking about today a very important subject. American sovereignty is at stake. America's sovereignty is at stake. Yes, it really is. As we look at what's happening across America, including the fiasco that's taking place in Washington as I speak, with the interrogation, the badgering, and the intimidation taking place for Amy Coney Barrett as the next Supreme Court justice. That's just a part of the picture. The big picture is the dismantling of the sovereignty of the United States of America, the underpinning, the very foundation of our nation is being absolutely eviscerated. It is being destroyed, and we're watching the piece-by-piece action. We're watching the riots in the street. We're watching the false narrative by the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party. We're watching what they're saying and doing and not recognizing there is a big picture, a large picture that most people are not focused on, and that's the ultimate goal, the ultimate game plan, the ultimate program that's being carried out in piecemeal fashion so that ultimately one day we will wake up to find that America's sovereignty no longer exists. I believe that's what we see taking place today. And I believe that we can tie some of the loose ends up as we talk about it today on this broadcast. So join us in the dialogue and discussion. And let me remind you once again, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is a fascinating study when you look at what the Scripture says in relationship to the attempt to have a one-world government. It was initially called the Tower of Babel, or some would like to call it Babel. The Tower of Babel, where the people decided they were going to have a one-world global governance. And God said no. God dismantled it. God separated the people into different categories, lands and nations and groups. And ladies and gentlemen, we see the attempt today to have a one-world government. And we'll talk about the different pushers and shakers on that subject and what the end goal is, and we're just seeing a portion of it. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus makes a declaratory statement in John 14:6 when he says, "I am truth." Who is Jesus? He is God. He is the Logos of God, the Word of God. And then Jesus says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to grasp our attention, demand our attention, because the Scripture says in Psalms 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen by his own inheritance." Notice again, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We have been blessed as a nation for some 244 plus years, as a result of placing our faith and trust and confidence in the Creator of the universe, God Himself. And yet we find today a major push to dismantle any belief in God, to destroy anything that's called religious liberties, to thwart any plan of having church and gospel singing and Bible preaching. That's all part and parcel of the dismantling of the sovereignty of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the truth factor that I want us to understand. The truth factor. And it was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that coming about more and more every day as we wake up, as we watch the television news, as we listen to what's taking place with the fake media. We understand that truth is not a part of the goal that's being assimilated and disseminated for us today. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, as a Christian, that ought to be our mantra. That should be our manner of life. That should be the mandate for our footsteps each and every day, is to seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even if we have to stand alone in doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about computer generation and the backup for the hurricane preparedness. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional landscape equipment as well as the equipment for the homeowner. And Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. They have a gigantic flagpole there, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. That's the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find that flagpole at the base of that flagpole, and that flag flying indicating freedom, Old Glory flying. Base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we speak, the interrogation of Amy Coney Barrett is taking place in Washington. The conservative justice that's just been nominated by President Trump. I don't know what your thoughts are. I don't know whether you think that there should be a hearing. I personally believe that they need to have the introductory remarks as they're doing today, and we'll go through Thursday, I believe. I believe at the close of that, there ought to be a motion for a cloture, that is the shutting off the debate, a second to the motion, then a vote, and of course the Republicans will carry the vote, and then immediately go into the absolute approval of Amy Coney Barrett as the Supreme Court Justice. Oh, yes, there's going to be a lot of hysteria. There'll be a lot of things said that's coming out of the socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrats and their argument against the appointment. We hear Chuck Schumer and his group tell us that how this is unconstitutional. Perhaps you've heard that over and over, that the appointment of Amy Coney Barrett is unconstitutional, and that Trump doesn't have that authority. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want somebody to show me some place in the Constitution where it says that he doesn't have the authority. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, before her death, had made the statement that when a president is elected, he's elected for 4 years, and he doesn't have the responsibility, the opportunity to in any way circumvent, have someone to circumvent his authority during that 4 years. And this is within the four-year scope of President Trump's election. He is still president. And so, therefore, when there's a vacancy, he has the authority, the right constitutionally, to fill that vacancy. Now, they can remonstrate against it. They can demonstrate against it. They can argue against it. But, ladies and gentlemen, There's no way that they can say that it's unconstitutional and unconstitutional acts. But Joe Biden and Kamala Harris plan to pack the Supreme Court. They plan, if they're elected, ladies and gentlemen, to pack the courts. Now, there's been light made of that and some challenges. In fact, Joe Biden said that President Trump is packing the court even now with the nomination of Amy Barrett as the next Supreme Court justice. That's not packing the court, ladies and gentlemen. That's replacing a person that was on the Supreme Court that deceased. And as a result of that, there's a vacancy, and our Constitution is at stake when we, in a constitutional republic, when we have only eight justices and not a full court. And so therefore, there needs to be that replacement. It's Joe Biden, ladies and gentlemen, that says that they will pack the courts. Now, he's saying they didn't say that. They don't intend to do that. But in packing the courts, that is going from nine Supreme Court justices to, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15 judges. And if that is the case, ladies and gentlemen, it would be an impossibility to ever reach a general consensus on a vote for anything. What it will do, if the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democrats are elected, ladies and gentlemen, they will pack the Supreme Court, and that is put a large number on there so that it will guarantee the outcome of whatever law they want to pass. What they want, ladies and gentlemen, is a branch of government that is an extended arm of the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democrat party that will simply affirm what they want to pass, which I would simply call unjust laws. But ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden said during an interview this week that voters do not deserve to know his position on the Supreme Court packing. The article then reads, imagine that. Imagine what it would be like if a person running for the highest office, elected office in the most powerful nation on earth, was asked a policy question about the administration's stance on the Supreme Court. And his actual answer was, quote, voters don't deserve to know, end quote, what his position is. That's exactly what Joe Biden did this week when asked if whether or not he would pack the Supreme Court. Voters don't deserve to know. Still confused about who to vote for even now? Question mark. The article is an extensive article, but ladies and gentlemen, it sets the stage for what is reality. And what we don't really recognize, ladies and gentlemen, is the big picture. The big picture. We're looking at gun control, yes. We're looking at the control of religious liberties, the evisceration of our Bill of Rights, yes. We're looking at the potentiality of hundreds of trillions of dollars from the Green New Deal, yes. We're looking at all of these things. We're looking at them under the prism, under the microscope of individualized things that are all horrific in and of themselves. But ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the big picture, it's far greater than just the appointment now, Judge Barrett, to fill Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat on the Supreme Court. It's far greater than whether or not the court should be packed. In fact, it's surprising to me that Joe Biden, evidently, shouldn't be surprising, though, that he's forgotten what he said in history past. Keep in mind, Joe Biden's been in the Washington Beltway almost 50 years. He's never signed the front of a paycheck, always endorses the back of a paycheck. It's amazing to me that Joe Biden, with the salary that has been drawn as a senator, and even as vice president, that last year his income, $13.3 million. $13.3 million. That's a paltry sum, I'm sure you might think. But nevertheless, he and Kamala Harris were hair on fire talking about President Trump and what he paid in income tax. You analyze their income tax, and they avoided income tax. They avoided the taxes for the most part, especially for the Social Security tax and the other taxes that are federally mandated. They put everything in an S corporation, paid themselves out of that, which is simply a disbursement to the individual corporate title holders, and it was tax-free. As a result of that, they avoided paying into the Social Security, into any of the other taxes that's required for the average company, but yet they were wanting to make it look as though somehow, some way, President Trump has done something horrific with his taking advantage of, in the right sense, legal advantage of, the legal loopholes in the U.S. tax code. But ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden is silent now about court packing, but his stance in 1983, He called it a boneheaded idea. During a campaign to stop in Phoenix on Thursday, Biden said, "They'll know my position on court packing when the election is over," end quote. Biden said that he was against court packing 40 years ago, but now the former VP won't give a stance on the issue. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden and his running mate Kamala Harris of California have been mum on the question of court packing should they win the November election. But in 1983, Joe Biden was much more outspoken on the issue, calling it a bonehead idea, end quote. Biden, then a U.S. Senator from Delaware, made the comments during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing in July of 1983 regarding the nominations to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. At the time, Republican President Ronald Reagan had stoked controversy for attempting to replace three members of the commission. Further in the article, it says, and Biden is quoting it, going back to Roosevelt, he said, "President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the courts. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct." Biden, then 40, told the committee, quote, "But it was a boneheaded idea. It was a terrific, terrible mistake to make. And it put in question if for an entire decade the independence of the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America." And it goes on talking about how they are arguing a different viewpoint now of packing the courts. It is something that, ladies and gentlemen, would be a horrific idea. It will further erode, if not totally destroy, the three branches of government. Our founding fathers were geniuses when they set up the three branches of government, each one having equal authority, but the tension between the three branches would provide the protection for our constitutional republic. And that's the way it was designed. And ladies and gentlemen, if the Democrats have their way about it, number one, they'll pack the Supreme Court, adding judges to the bench to guarantee the outcomes of an unconstitutional governance at that time, yet carry out the liberal agenda of the Democratic Party in wanting to destroy our constitutional republic. Listen, I'm trying to paint the picture of piece by piece some of the thoughts that we're seeing today, but it all inures back to a major fundamental goal of destroying the constitutional republic of the United States of America. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you go back to Maoism, you go back to communism, you go back to Marxism, and the goal was to destroy the fabric, the warp and the woof of a country to then institutionalize socialist Marxism, communism in those nations. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast today. Let me remind you that telephone is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios. Right to our microphones that we can entertain your question or comments, ladies and gentlemen. Secondly, the Biden-Harris agenda is to add Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico as states. You might say, well, what's wrong with that? In fact, there's been several Democrats down through the years that's advocated making those two as states. It was never intended for D.C., District of Columbia, to ever become a state. It was to be neutral from the standpoint of elected officials, representatives, and senators. But ladies and gentlemen, if they can pull that off, if Biden-Harris goes into office and carry out their plans, Washington, D.C. will become a state. Puerto Rico will become a state. What does that mean logistically? What does that mean for our way of life? What does that mean for our Constitution? Ladies and gentlemen, what it will do is give the legislators, those that are the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist Democrats, it will give them the authority, the power, the legal authority, the legal power then to have some 8 additional U.S. representatives and perhaps as many as 4 additional senators. You see what it will do? Beyond packing the courts, beyond simply bringing in the socialist, Marxist ideals into United States of America, it will literally guarantee the single-party dictatorship control from now on without a two-party system in America for there to be checks and balances. I don't know about you, but that frightens the socks off me, and it should each and every one of us. It should be a major concern for every Christian that's listening today. because the Bible says in Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If we have no more constitutional republic foundation, if we do not have the rights that's afforded to us by God through the Word of God, then institutionalized and codified in our Constitution via the Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't have that, Christianity would be absolutely a historical benchmark with no reality for the future for Christians or for churches in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, if they are able to pack the courts, if they're able to make Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. two additional states, it will undermine our constitutional republic totally. And the third thing is, ladies and gentlemen, a Biden-Harris bill, a Biden-Harris administration would allow for the social medicine, free education, free college, free health care, not only to citizens, but, ladies and gentlemen, to every illegal immigrant coming into the country. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, Biden has already said that he doesn't want border walls. He doesn't want secured borders. He would want to rework the total immigration system. He would want to disavow, disallow, and absolute dismantle, if possible, the border wall that President Trump has been working now so diligently to have installed. I believe there's some 300-plus miles of wall that's already gone up. Our illegal immigration problem has diminished by about 85% as a result of the Trump administration and what he's been doing. But, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. When we talk about a socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party, and we talk about that in light of a global governance. A global governance will be just what they're putting together piece by piece with the socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party, ladies and gentlemen. When they talk about free education, nothing is free. Somebody's got to pay the toll. Somebody's got to pay the price. Somebody's got to pay professors. Someone has to pay for the brick and mortar. Someone has to pay for that operation to continue. Ladies and gentlemen, it does not mean that our colleges will close. It doesn't mean universities will close. It would simply mean that rather than students paying tuition, and many of the colleges and universities now, it's free tuition because it's state colleges being funded by taxpayer dollars. It doesn't mean because it's free to the student. It is free because somebody, their parents, their grandparents, somebody in their family, and others are working across America to pay the toll, to pay the load, to pay the cost. But ladies and gentlemen, they're talking about now free everything. Free college, free university, free education, free health care, not only for the citizens, but also, ladies and gentlemen, for the illegal immigrants that's coming in to America today. In fact, some researchers have surmised that Joe Biden, if elected president, would bring in probably an additional 52 million illegal immigrants. 52 million. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have approximately 22 to 30 million that are illegal immigrants in America today. They always talk about 10, 12, 15,000. And anytime you hear the Democrats talking about a number, you just about double that number and know that you perhaps got the correct figure. But there's probably somewhere between 15 to 25, 30 million illegals in America today. And you add another 52 million to that, ladies and gentlemen, who's going to pay the toll? Who's going to pay the note? You can go to any socialist, Marxist, Democratic organizational structure that's in place today. And the ultimate goal is to have a universal system, a global system, a UN-led system. In fact, we'll talk about it in a moment when we get down to the nuts and bolts of what we're talking about with America losing our sovereignty. It's as a result of the United Nations and their handling of just about everything. Just think now, the World Health Organization and how well that was handled. They were simply carrying out the dictates of communist China. And as a result of that, Dr. Tedros, that's not even a medical professional, Dr. Tedros was the one that perpetrated the lie and continued to tell Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, and others, and the CDC, that it needed to, that we need not worry about it. In fact, I'm looking at a gigantic article here, and I'll not take time to dissect it for us on the air today. But in this article, it's about a 15, 20-page article, says we need to investigate the CDC. The article says it's time to convene a federal grand jury. Two revelations were dropped last week that screamed for two things. Number one, a federal grand jury must be convened, with the target being the CDC. Number two, state attorney generals do the same thing, except the target is the PCR manufacturers that is the communist Chinese government, manufacturers, promoters, and specific individuals in World Health Organization. Further in the article, it says, as I and many others have written repeatedly over the months, we have no idea of the actual number of cases of the virus because of the faulty testing going on all across the country, as well as the shifty counting. By that, I mean a person is tested, then retested, and sometimes given a third test. One person, three tests, now counted as three new cases of COVID-19. What a scam, not to mention the manipulation of the death certificates. As one person remarked about this pandemic, when hospitals receive so much money for declaring patients COVID-19, even ones not tested, it becomes a business plan for the hospitals. Further, the article states, this shocked even me, which is hard to do. Unbelievable, this writer says, how much each state receives per outbreak patient. The figure of 38,000 for each patient hospitalized with COVID-19 has been floated around for many months now. Try this, 131,000 per patient that's rated as COVID-19 in the state of Delaware alone. The numbers by state are in the video as a link above. Officials were all screaming they need more money for their hospitals from the federal government, while too many hospitals around the country were laying off doctors and nurses due to the shuttering down elective surgeries, cancer testing, and other medical procedures. Is there a flu shot? COVID-19 link? Then the article further reads, people who received the Trivalent influenza vaccine during 2008-2009 flu season were between 1.4 and 2.5 times more likely to get infected with the pandemic H1N1 in the spring and summer of 2009 than those who did not receive a flu vaccine at all. 2. A double-blinded placebo-controlled study of ferrets confirmed the results, showing the seasonal influenza vaccine did worsen symptoms after subsequent exposure to H1N1 virus. 3, a 2011 study found the seasonal flu vaccine may literally weaken children's immune system and increase their chances of getting sick from influenza viruses not included in the vaccine. 4, in 2012, study shows children receiving the invactinated influenza virus had a 4.4 times higher risk of contracting non-influenza respiratory viruses and infections in the 9 months following their inoculation. 5, a 2020 study found people were 36% more likely to get some form of coronavirus infection if they had been vaccinated against the influenza, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the article goes on about it. It's a 10 to 15 page article that's a massive study and presentation on why we need to investigate the CDC for deception and fraud perpetrated upon the American public. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, the subject is America's sovereignty is at stake. All of this is part and parcel of the pieces of the puzzle that we're looking at, but make no mistake, the elitist in Washington, those Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, AOC and the squad, including Ilhan Omar and others, they have a goal, they have a plan, they have an absolute track to run on. It's not happenstance, it's not just hypothetical, it's not conspiracy theorists that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the reality of their ultimate goal of disbanding the Constitutional Republic called our Constitution and the Bill of Rights therein. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back with Let's Face the Issue.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.